Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful. Words taken from the collect of this last Sunday after Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Although today is the last Sunday of the church year, it is the first in a series of Sundays, once known in the English-speaking world, when it was still Catholic, as the Stirrup Sundays. For each Sunday's collect begins with the same Latin word, excitat, stir up. And today what we ask the Lord to stir up is our wills. The means by which the Church wishes to stir up our wills is by meditation on the end of the world and the coming of our King and Judge. The Scriptures tell us that if only we kept eternity before our eyes, our wills would never stray from the right path. As the divine sage says, in all things remember thy last end, and thou shalt never sin. Today we hear from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, and next Sunday, which begins the church year, we will in fact hear the same passage as told by St. Luke. And it is important to remember that everything that our Lord says in chapters 24 and 25 of St. Matthew is in response to a question from his disciples. Jesus, being come out of the temple, went away, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And he answering said to them, do you see all these things? Amen, I say to you, there shall not be left here a stone upon a stone that shall not be destroyed. And when he was sitting on Mount Olivet, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the consummation of the world? Our Lord then gives a twofold response, which upon examination is in fact a twofold question. To be sure, his prophecy finds its immediate and complete fulfillment in those days with the destruction of Jerusalem and the definitive closing of the Old Testament. As we are reminded in the Mass of Church Consecration, which we celebrate several times during this month of November, the temple of God is a microcosm of the entire universe. It is the dwelling place of God with men. And as our Lord speaks of the destruction of the one, he foreshadows the destruction of the other. Today, then, we are invited by Holy Mother Church to speak about that part of theology known as the last things. We should all study the last things in order to know the truth which God has revealed, and thus to shun all curiosity, intrigue, and error about these most important questions. And then finally to make us turn to God in prayer, confidence, and love. As our Lord's prophecy today has a twofold application, so the study of the last things is divided into two parts. First, we may speak of the last things of the individual man, and then the last things of all mankind and of the whole world. As to the first part, we have occasion to speak about it throughout the church year. Every human being is subject to the law of death. At death, our soul separates from our body and immediately appears before Christ our judge. After this particular judgment, our soul will proceed straight away to one of two eternal destinies, hell or heaven, perhaps by way of purgatory. On this last Sunday of the year, the Church speaks to us especially, though, of the last things of all mankind in the world. What are the truths that we must all profess as Catholics concerning this most sublime and mysterious subject? Let us review them. At the end of the world, Christ will come again in glory to pronounce judgment. 1 month ago, we celebrated the feast of Christ the King, professing our belief that Christ must reign here and now in the affairs of men. Today, this last Sunday of the church year, might well be called the feast of Christ the Judge. Now is the time of mercy, when our Savior draws us by the sweet cords of love, when we may choose, every one of us, whether or not to bow before him. The end of time is the time of judgment, when every knee shall bend before the Son of God, even the knees of those who are to be condemned. No man, woman, or child who has ever lived for a moment on this earth shall escape this dread judgment. At that time, the wicked will be separated from the just, and they shall go each to their separate abodes in eternity, never to meet again. The time of this awesome coming of Christ is unknown to men. Thus, we Catholics needn't trouble ourselves about every latest prediction of the last day, for we know by divine faith that this knowledge is hidden from all men. But St. Paul tells us that it will come at a time when men do not expect it. The day of the Lord shall so come as a thief in the night, for when they shall say peace and security, then shall sudden destruction come upon them, as pains upon her that is with child, and they shall not escape. On that last day, all the dead will rise again with the same bodies they had on earth. Our soul was created by God and breathed into our body at the moment of conception. It did not exist before then and have previous lives in other bodies, nor will it go on to inhabit another body after it leaves this current one. After death, the soul of each one of us will go to heaven or hell, and that eternal destination can never be altered. But we are not pure spirits. Our soul was created to give form to a material body. And were it not for Adam's sin, our soul would never have had to be separated from that body. It must continue to exist according to its true nature in eternity. Furthermore, our body took part in all the good we accomplished and the sins we committed in this life. And so justice demands that it share in the soul's eternal reward. The bodies of the just will be remodeled and transfigured to the pattern of Christ, risen in glory. They will be free from death and all forms of suffering, perfectly subtle, quick, and agile, and endowed with surpassing beauty and brilliance. For as St. Paul has promised us, our Savior will reform the body of our lowliness, made like unto the body of his glory, according to the operation whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. The bodies of the wicked will also rise again immortal, but unglorified and subject to suffering. Our Lord has already warned it that the Father has the power to punish both body and soul in hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not extinguished. Immortality means that the soul can never again be separated from the body, and God will sustain all bodies in existence forever and ever. Those bodies which he does not glorify, however, will be subject to whatever suffering is due to their sins. On the last day, the world will be destroyed and gloriously restored. God will judge the world by fire at the end, just as he judged it by water in the beginning. This fire will bring a seeming total destruction. Yet the world will be changed, not ended. This present world was created for man's joy and happiness. The world to come will surpass all the joys we ever experienced here. If we are found among the just and inherit this kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world, every movement through this new world will be an indescribable joy as we bound from heaven to earth and back over hills and fields and rivers, rejoicing in choir with all our fellow heirs, all the while beholding the most adorable face of God. Dear faithful, meditation on these articles of our holy faith, on the end of the world, on the end of our own life, should not be a source of discouragement for us. After all, what are we doing here as Catholics if our actions do not have eternal consequences? If the divine Son became man, was crucified, rose again and ascended, sent the Holy Ghost and instituted the Church and the sacraments, just to make our lives a little more pleasant as we make our way inexorably toward heaven, then the Church has no mission, and men have no religion to practice. No, what our Lord did for us, and all that he continues to do for us through his Church, he did because hell exists, and we might go there. All the things in this life which we refer to as tragedies are nothing of the sort. We know with divine faith and must never cease to repeat to ourselves the truth that there is only one tragedy in this life: dying in the state of mortal sin, leaving this world as an enemy of God. The end of this world is a promise, not a threat. It is true that we have heard the Dies Irae throughout this month of November, the Requiem Masses we have celebrated, day of wrath and doom impending, and we should take this very much to heart. But we have also heard the beautifully consoling Masses of church dedication for the great Roman basilicas. Our calling is to be saints, to be part of that glorious vision of St. John which closes the New Testament and which we find so beautifully represented on our side altar. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, "Behold the tabernacle of God with men, and he will be with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself with them shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and death shall be no more. No mourning, nor crying, nor sorrow shall be any more, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.